Hello, this is your Polycast for Friday, October 31st, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. Trick or treat. On today's edition, supporters of medical marijuana criticize Governor Dayton again. Jeff Johnson gives more details of his audit plan, and sugar and the 7th District race. Medical marijuana advocates are criticizing DFL Governor Mark Dayton for not pledging to expand the new law next year to include more patients. The group Minnesotans for Compassionate Care asked all five gubernatorial candidates to sign a statement of support. Dayton was the only one who didn't. Dayton enacted a limited medical marijuana bill last session, but opposed a more expansive version. During a news conference yesterday, the group's executive director, Heather Ozzi, said she thought the governor might sign the pledge.
We hoped that he would take a look at this after everything that's happened. Some of our patient advocates have died since this law was enacted, and we were optimistic. You know, we're really very disappointed that he did not sign it, and that he appears not willing to work with us again next session.
Dayton has said he wants to see the new law fully implemented before considering changes. He told reporters yesterday that he isn't making promises about any proposed legislation.
I haven't ruled out anything that anybody's said about anything that I can think of offhand in terms of legislation. And I've told every group that wants to talk with me about legislation, you're going to have to wait till after the election. So I'm not saying yes and I'm not saying no, I'm just saying it's premature.
A Dayton campaign spokesman said they didn't receive the group's request until late Wednesday. Republican candidate for governor Jeff Johnson is adding a few more specifics to his plan to hire an outside auditor to examine the effectiveness of state programs. Johnson said the audit would likely cost several million dollars in taxpayer money. He said he thinks the auditor should be able to go through each program and determine whether it's fulfilling the task it was created to do. Johnson also said it would take time for the auditor to do the work.
We'd be measuring programs for 4 years. It might take 8 years. But we've got to at least start and start going through the programs. And, you know, I think it will be a constant process because we have thousands and thousands of programs to measure. So it's not for 3 months we're going to have an audit. This is going to take a long time, and frankly, government should be doing it all the time.
Governor Dayton responded by saying Johnson should be better prepared on the state budget.
You got to come into the job, you got to be ready to go and ready to act. He said he was going to take my budget for the first 2 years, so, you know, you got to know enough about the state and the operations of the state that you can come in. You don't need to bring somebody else from the outside and pay him a couple $1 million, tell you what you should know going into the job.
Dayton also said the state's legislative auditor and legislative committees already review the efficiency of state programs. For more than 20 years, congressional races in northwestern Minnesota have been relatively sleepy affairs. Voters have sent 7th District DFL Congressman Colin Peterson back to Congress 11 times, usually by double-digit margins. This year is different. Over the past few years, the district has expanded to the south, and polls show a much closer race than usual this time as Peterson seeks re-election against Republican State Senator Tori Westrum. National Republican and Democratic groups have spent nearly $9 million to try to influence the race. Brett Neely has a closer look.
The ads airing in the 7th District are harsh.
The problem with longtime congressmen is that they change. Colin Peterson stopped helping you and started taking perks for himself.
Tori Westrum, a recipe for disaster.
But to understand this race, there are really just two numbers you need to know. The first number is 9. That's how many U.S. House districts are represented by a Democrat, where voters picked Republican presidential candidate Mitt Romney over President Barack Obama in 2012. The 7th District is one of those 9. In a time of growing political polarization, Republican strategists see Peterson's seat as one of a shrinking number that can pad their majority in the House. That's why they're willing to spend so much money on the race. The second number is $3.5 billion. That's one estimate by Iowa State University as to how much more U.S. consumers spend on sugar every year than they would if the government didn't protect the domestic sugar industry through domestic price supports and import quotas. And in his nearly 24 years in office, Colin Peterson has been one of the sugar beet industry's staunchest defenders in Congress. The question for voters here in western Minnesota is whether they want a Republican to represent them, given the district's conservative bent, or whether they want a plugged-in congressman with the clout to protect the region's industries. Just outside of Moorhead, giant piles of freshly harvested beets get turned into 5-pound bags of table sugar at an American Crystal sugar processing plant. After a washing, the beets zip through slicing machines on long conveyor belts. David Berg is the company's CEO.
It's a sliced up beet. That's called a cassette.
It looks like a waffle fry.
Exactly, yeah.
Berg was first hired by American Crystal Sugar in 1994, just 3 years after Peterson entered office. He isn't shy about why he supports Peterson.
He understands how to deliver for us in Washington. He can pull on different levers at different times to make things happen for us.
Levers such as making sure the sugar industry keeps its protections and knowing who in the Obama administration to call when the company is having trouble with some part of the federal government. Industry-sponsored research says the sugar business employs more than 20,000 people in the Red River Valley, the population center of Peterson's congressional district.
I don't want to live around here if we don't have a sugar program. It would be a pretty grim economic environment.
20 miles down the road from Moorhead, Jay Nord pilots his combine through rows of corn.
We had a little dry spell when the corn was finishing, and between all of that, the corn crop's not very good.
But Nord says crop insurance will help cover his losses. Through his perch as chair and now ranking Democrat on the House Agriculture Committee, Peterson helped expand the federally subsidized crop insurance program to help farmers like Nord through the boom and bust cycles of agriculture. Still, Nord, who's known Peterson since he was a teenager, suggests it might be time for a change.
Colin's been good for agriculture, but I think the feeling in the area is 24 years may be long enough.
Nord won't say who he's voting for next week, although federal campaign finance records show he's donated $2,000 to Peterson's Republican opponent, State Senator Tory Westrum.
I think everybody in the neighborhood will know who I'm voting for.
While crop insurance might prevent many farmers from going broke, Nord says falling commodity prices could help swing the race against Peterson.
It's a bad crop, so farmers are in a bad mood, so, you know, that tends to affect their attitudes, and that's not fair to the election, but that's the way it is.
Tory Westrum is counting on voters' anger with the Obama administration's health care and environmental policies to send him to Washington in January. But when it comes to the issue of agriculture policy, there's little daylight between Westrum and Peterson. Westrum says he would have voted for this year's farm bill and that he supports the federal sugar program and crop insurance.
Farmers and agriculture business has a friend in me, the same as they need. And so that's an issue. There's not an issue about standing up for agriculture. That's what this district is. That's what I will do.
David Berg of American Crystal Sugar has met with Westrum and says he believes Westrum will protect the region's economic interests. But Berg says the sugar program has plenty of enemies in Congress, and he's not ready to see Peterson go.
But I'm not going to give up a stud player for my team. Simple as that.
Peterson has a record of bucking his party and siding with Republicans on gun control, social issues such as abortion, and environmental regulations, all popular positions in this conservative district. But Westrum says a vote for Peterson is a vote in favor of the Democrats' positions on those issues, even if Peterson personally doesn't support them.
That's the leadership Colin Peterson enables. If he's got so much clout, then stop it. It hasn't been stopped. And we need somebody that will stand up to Nancy Pelosi and President Obama, not enable them to make this happen.
Peterson defends his relationship with the Democratic leader and argues that it's ultimately been positive for the 7th District.
She couldn't get elected out here. I couldn't get elected in her district. But I've been able to work with her, you know, and she trusts me. She thinks that I'm the one that understands agriculture, and so that helps me get done what needs to get done. And that's what this job is all about.
And he says that if Republicans take control of the Senate, it will actually strengthen a small band of conservative and moderate Democrats in the House, whose votes, he says, will be central to passing spending bills and a new highway bill.
Not going to get done by the far right and the far left. It's going to get done people that, you know, me being able to bring some Democrats to support something that Obama might be able to sign. I mean, that's how it works.
The president of the Red River Valley Sugar Beet Growers Association, Paul Rutherford, says that approach to lawmaking has been valuable. He says Peterson has the credibility to get all parties on an issue to cut a deal.
And he's came back to us and said, you know, we have to make a little concession here. We have to make a concession there to work with the other side of the aisle. And we, you know, nobody ever wants to give up something, but you say, yeah, that's fine. We'll work with you. You know D.C.
Peterson may have been surprised by the intensity of the race Westrum and his national allies launched against him. And after so many easy re-election victories, his campaign skills may have gotten a little rusty. Rutherford thinks Peterson has rallied in time to win, but he's uncomfortable.
Yeah, you got to be a little nervous. I'm hoping the voters in the 7th District realize what they have in place out there.
As for Westrom, he hopes they realize what they're missing by not having a congressman who will vote for the leaders they support. Brett Neely, Minnesota Public Radio News, Moorhead.
And that's your Polycast for this Friday, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio Newsroom. A couple of reminders for you. The last debate in the governor's race is tonight. We'll have a story about that on the radio tomorrow. Then on Sunday night, the final debate in the U.S. Senate campaign. We'll carry that live on the radio and on the web. It'll be at the Fitzgerald Theater. It's sponsored by NPR News. So be sure to listen into that. And I will see you again here on Monday for the final Polycast before the election.